welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Washington. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan this Monday, July 8, 2024. The leader of the South Sudan Opposition Movement Alliance reacts to the passing of the National Security Act.
The objective of these talks here have been agreed by the parties that the overall goal is to rescue South Sudan and prevent it from collapsing into chaos and disorder.
And some people living with disabilities in eastern Equatorial State call for help. We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The South Sudan hold-up groups at the Tumaini Initiative in Kenya fired back at South Sudan's National Parliament for passing the National Security Act last week. Pagana Mum, leader of the South Sudan Opposition Movement Alliance, told me from Nairobi the passing of the act is a death sentence on the people of South Sudan.
The objective of these talks here had been agreed by the parties that the overall goal is to rescue South Sudan and prevent it from collapsing into chaos and disorder, given the many crises the country is going through, primarily failure of the revitalized transitional government of national unity, Artigono, to implement their agreement and to deliver on their promises to bring peace and hand over power to the people of South Sudan. Now, the government in the last few days have taken disastrous decisions. One among them is to enact that draconian law of the national security, which is a law violating the fundamental and basic rights of our people.
Yes. Sorry for interrupting you. I would like to take you back on the issues that you raised. Issue number one is the announcement of the elections. I watched the press conference, and the chairperson of the Electoral Commission said elections will take place between December 22nd and February 22nd. He did not give a specific date. I know that your group does not believe in the 2018 peace agreement, but the peace agreement says the Electoral Commission should announce the date for elections 6 months to the expiration of the transitional period. Now, there is no clause in that agreement which says if the other mechanism in the agreement have not been fulfilled, the date for elections should not be announced. I mean, let us also look at it from the legal point.
If we are now discussing as per the RRCs, the first most important agreement or point of agreement by the parties of RRCs is that elections will only be conducted under a permanent constitution of South Sudan, which will define the political system and the electable positions. They have not produced the permanent constitution on the basis of which elections will be run. Therefore, these elections, if they are held, they will be violating the their constitution, they will be violating the peace agreement that they signed themselves. They had agreed that some of the prerequisites for elections that must be organized before the elections are the census, to count the people of South Sudan, and also registration of the voters, demarcation of the constituencies, and the opening of the political space in the country. This has not been done all, but even worse, the chair of the National Election Commission is making the announcement at the same time a draconian law violating the rights and closing any political space in the country is also being enacted. This is a terrible contradiction.
Let's go to the extension. You said there is a committee that was assessing the implementation records of the peace agreement, what has been fulfill what has not been fulfilled and what is still to be fulfilled. You said you got some intel that they recommended for another 24 months of extension. What is wrong with that?
What is wrong with that is, imagine they said that only 10% of their agreement was implemented. 90% of their agreement is not implemented. So if they need to extend and every 6 months, 6 years, after every 6 years they will implement 10%, it means they will need 60 years to bring peace to the country, and they will have to extend themselves for 60 years as per their own assessment and reports of how this agreement is being implemented. But even worse than that, this government is dysfunctional, terribly divided. You can see what the SPLMIG is doing and saying and planning and deciding. They are going for elections from 22nd of December this year. They are closing the doors for the registration of parties, and they are making it almost impossible for parties to get registered because they are requiring them to pay a lot of money. This is what the SPLMIG is doing. The SPLMIO is jumping up, rejecting the elections, rejecting the decision by the Political Parties Act, and rejecting the enactment of the law, which is passed by the SPLMIG and its partners in the government, who have been intimidated in the parliament to pass that law. Look at this, how divided they are. They cannot even take the country to peace. This country needs to be rescued from them. They are marking time, and that is what is wrong with extension. For how long are they going to continue extending themselves? 2 years ago, they said they were going to implement their roadmap in 2 years. They did not.
And how would you
Why would anybody believe them now?
Yeah, how would you react to your critics who would say what is happening in Nairobi at the Tumaini Initiative could also drag the extension, could also, you know, drag the transitional period? Because if the transitional government of national unity is waiting for you to sign an agreement and then you come back to Juba and everything moves forward, if the process at Tumaini drags for some times, that means the transitional period will also be extended. How would you react to that sentiments from your critics?
The only best reaction to that is that what is the purpose of the Tumaini? If we are all agreed that we need to rescue the country and develop a concrete rescue plan to prevent the country collapsing into chaos and disorder or disintegrating, then it will be a program of rescue, and it would be also accompanied with a strong mechanism of implementation.
That's Pagana Mum, leader of the South Sudan Opposition Movement Alliance. He spoke to me from the Kenyan capital, Nairobi. Last week, a government delegation returned from the Tumaini Initiative and briefed the media in Juba. South Sudan's Information Minister Michael Makuei warned reporters not to depend on postings on the social media. Some young South Sudanese traders say they are ready for international markets after acquiring Quality Mark from South Sudan National Bureau of Standards. The Quality Mark assures consumers that products from South Sudan are safe for consumption. For VOA News, Juliana Shiapai reports from Juba.
Last week, the South Sudan National Bureau of Standards launched its Quality Mark for trade to show consumers that a certified product is safe, reliable, and of high quality. Stella Malik is the Chief Executive Officer and founder of Aramwir Organics, a non-profit that produces shea butter. She says her business is privileged to be the first to acquire Quality Marks.
Before acquiring the Quality Mark, we had issues of products not being allowed to get into other markets, hence a requirement to test in countries of destination, which simply made the product more expensive. I have tried to stock with distribution channels that wouldn't take our products because they didn't have a quality mark. So as an entrepreneur looking at global expansion, the quality mark is a crucial step for us because it sets us apart in a competitive market. As a company focused on sustainability and safe products,
Matata Safi is the managing director of Hagana Group Agro-Processing Company, a youth-led initiative for beekeeping and honey production. Matata says acquiring the quality mark is a milestone for his business.
For the last 6 years that we have been in business, we have not been able to take our products across the borders just because we do not have the quality mark. So with the acquisition of the quality mark, it means that our local products can be able to cross borders, can be sold in other markets, whether it's in the region, whether it's internationally, because the quality mark speaks on behalf of the companies of those products that have been sold.
Catherine Ely is from the Department of Certification and Export at the National Bureau of Standards. She says other entrepreneurs need to get the quality marks for their products to go outside the country.
The quality mark, the manufacturer's product is in accordance with our relevant standards specification. Like we gave the quality mark for the two companies, the Hagana and Aramware. These products, they're in accordance with our standards. That's why we gave them the quality mark. So now it is just like boosting customers' confidence and gain access to international market as well. Also, the quality mark is to enhance productivity and to increase the market value of our manufacturers locally and internationally. You can take your products outside with the confidence that it is safe for the human consumption.
Both entrepreneurs who spoke to VOA say they highly encourage other companies to get certified and get the quality mark. For VOA News, I'm Juliana Shapai in Juba.
From Juba, we move to Torit, where people living with disability in Eastern Equatorial State are asking for inclusion and representation in state institutions. They say the state government should train teachers for people living with disability. More than 700 people living with disability in Eastern Equatoria are facing challenges. For VOA News, Kaltuma Vanessa reports from Torit.
In February last year, the government of South Sudan signed the United Nations Convention on the Rights of People with Disability to promote, protect, and ensure the full and equal enjoyment of human rights and fundamental freedom by all persons. Susan Ifuho, the chairperson of an organization of women with visual impairment, says children with disability need equal rights to education. She says children of people with disability are at home because their parents cannot afford school fees.
The young children with disabilities, they are not in school. Nobody recognizes them in education. That's why I want to raise my voice to my citizens of South Sudan because of education. We lack education totally. The people with disability, there are very few who are educated, but most of them, they are not educated, especially the hearing impaired. Then the visually impaired who cannot see, then who cannot hear, totally, there are very few in school. We don't have the trained teachers who can able to help them.
Most of people with disability in South Sudan have limited access to basic social services such as education and health care, and also have few employment options. William British Noel, the chairperson for Union of Persons with Disability, is asking the state government to recognize the rights of people with disability and to support them.
What I have seen in Eastern Equatoria, they don't know the right of a person with disability. That is why they don't bring them closer. Secondly, they think people with disability have no use in the society. Let them just wait their death. The reason why we started this union is because we are underlooked, like we are not humans. That is why we say if we are separated and don't come together, we will disappear and our voice will not be heard.
Jennifer Nabongorika Edward is the Minister of Gender, Child and Social Welfare in Eastern Equatorial State. She says the state has no school and trained teachers for children with some special needs, such as those with severe hearing loss or who are not able to speak.
Those children, you might find the deaf children or dumb. And this one needs especially the teachers for dumb and the deaf that are supposed to be there because they teach the rules, the science, you know. And these children, they are supposed to have their own schools. So they know very well that Eastern Equatoria don't have those specific schools for the deaf and maybe the damned. But other disabled people like the lame, like what? Yes, they have right to be with the rest of the children in the classes.
Jennifer says the political parties in the revitalized transitional government of national unit should include people with disability.
So here I also encourage people with disabilities to join other political parties so that they will be represented fully in the parliament. Each party will make sure the person with disability is represented in the parliament or even in the executive.
Susan is asking the citizens of South Sudan to recognize people with disability. She says disability is not inability, and opportunities should distribute equally to the people of South Sudan, regardless of their physical condition. For VOA News, I am Kaltuma Vanessa in Torit, Eastern Equatorial State.
Listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, Democrats in the U.S. are thinking of what is next. That story is coming to you after the break.
Hello, listener of South Sudan in Focus. We have an exciting new segment dubbed Words of Wisdom. We want to hear your thoughtful proverbs that echo through your community. This is another chance for you to share wisdom from your roots. All you need to do is record a proverb in a language of your choice, tell us its English translation and what it means. Keep it brief, authentic, and represent your community. Your recorded proverb shall be sampled on South Sudan in Focus every Wednesday. Send your recording via our WhatsApp number, +1 202 630 8011. That is +1 202 630 8011.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. This week could be consequential for U.S. President Joe Biden's re-election bid as voices continue to grow for him to leave the race amid concerns over his age and capacity to lead. So far, however, he still has the support of many of his peers, even as they acknowledge Democratic voters' worries. VOA's Veronica Baldras Iglesias reports.
U.S. President Joe Biden addressed a friendly crowd Sunday during a church service in Philadelphia. He talked about his achievements, even as concerns about his age and capacity to lead continue to grow. Following his recent poor debate performance, the president has only doubled down on his determination to remain in the presidential race. He made his position clear during Friday's exclusive interview with ABC News anchor George Stephanopoulos.
I don't think anybody's more qualified to be president or win this race than me.
Biden still enjoys broad support for his re-election bid among his peers. But worries among voters are growing and were acknowledged by Democratic Senator Chris Murphy, who appeared Sunday on CNN's State of the Union show.
It's not questions about his character or his decency or who he cares about or who he fights for, but questions as to whether this is still the old Joe Biden.
The decision on whether to leave the presidential race is for Biden to make, Democratic Representative Adam Schiff told NBC's Meet the Press, stressing it will be consequential for the general election.
Joe Biden is going to need to consider for his own sake and his own legacy, can he beat Donald Trump? Is the best to beat Donald Trump? But also the profound impact this decision, maybe the most important of his presidency, will have on the House, on the Senate, on the future of the country.
On Saturday, Donald Trump took to his Truth Social platform and wrote, quote, "Crooked Joe Biden should ignore his many critics and move forward with alacrity and strength with his powerful and far-reaching campaign." While the headlines have focused on Biden, Trump's vice president pick could steal the spotlight if announced this week. Republican Senator J.D. Vance is among those being considered for the job. He was interviewed Sunday on NBC.
He's got a lot of good people he could choose from. It's the policies that worked and the leadership style that worked for the American people. I think we have to bring that back to the White House.
President Biden's attention will turn to the NATO summit, which he will host in Washington starting Tuesday, while Trump is expected to rally in Doral, Florida, and Butler, Pennsylvania, this week. Veronica Valderas Iglesias, VOA News, Washington.
The U.S. government lead for the Mineral Security Partnership, a new alliance of mostly Western countries involved in the extraction of minerals, said last month that a Chinese company was employing predatory tactics to keep Congo mined coal but prices low. In this report, Henry Wilkins takes a closer look at the new Mineral Security Partnership and speaks to its U.S. co-chairman and mining expert on what it means for Africa.
Last month, Jose W. Fernandez, the U.S. government's representative to the Mineral Security Partnership, or MSP, an alliance of mostly Western countries set up in 2022, said a Chinese mining company, CMOC, was using predatory pricing to keep the cost of cobalt extracted from the Democratic Republic of Congo down. Businesses sometimes use the tactic, illegal in some countries, to muscle out competition and establish a monopoly. In a written response to VOA, CMOC said, "We firmly deny the accusations. This round of price fluctuation is within the normal range and is a true reflection of market supply and demand." The MSP says its aim is to eliminate predatory pricing and to reform the world's mining industry, where exploitation of workers and institutions in developing nations is common. Fernandez, who is also the U.S. Undersecretary of State for Economic Growth, Energy and the Environment, says African minerals like cobalt are essential for the world's transition to green energy in the face of climate change.
We need Africa. We need African resources in order to do that. That's an opportunity for Africa, and Africa can demand what it's always wanted, which is technical assistance, knowledge transfer, working with communities, benefiting with communities.
Analysts say that the US, European Union, and other MSP countries are also aiming to steer control of strategic resources away from the People's Republic of China as its rivalry with the West intensifies. Fernandez says this isn't the case.
The objective here is to diversify our supply chains. It is true that for the most part, the PRC controls many of these minerals. That's a vulnerability not only for the West, but for all of us, as we aim to do all of this while upholding high environmental, social, and governance values. And by that, I mean working with communities to make sure that communities benefit from their natural resources.
Mining experts told VOA that Chinese companies are carrying out some of the worst practices in the mining industry and that the MSP is important in offsetting that. Andre Bayer is CEO of Core Potash, a mining company operating in the Republic of Congo.
It's an important reaction to counteract those that do not have the same scruples. But what happens is you've got a lot of private Chinese investors in Africa, and who were no longer even being reined in by their government in their country, and their behavior can be the most shocking.
One analyst says the MSP's task is difficult because it and Western countries do not have the same sway, control, or leverage that China has over its private companies. Christian Gerard Niemer is with the China Global South Project.
So that's why, whether being the MSP, the IRA, or the Critical Raw Material Act in Europe, or any kind of initiative in Canada or in Australia, they are all depending on one thing. They're depending on the fact that private companies will be willing to follow through with the strategy.
Ultimately, Fernandez says African countries will have to decide for themselves whom to partner with. Henry Wilkins, VOA News.
That's all we prepared for you this Monday, July 8, 2024. We now leave you with Emmanuel Kembe and the song Zaman Kurujuja. Indeed, it's raining in South Sudan, so it's time for us to cultivate. We have been listening to Emmanuel Kembe with the song Zamanta Kuruju Ja, which means it's time for cultivation. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and engineer, Chang, we wish you a lovely evening. Remember to join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States is advocating for safety and security in Kenya. Massive protests broke out in the capital city of Nairobi after the proposal of a finance bill that would have raised taxes in the country. There have been well-documented reports of violence against protesters, said State Department spokesperson Matthew Miller during a press briefing. The United States calls on the Kenyan government to use non-lethal methods and prevent civilian harm in dealing with peaceful protests.
So we condemn the violence reported during protests in Nairobi and around Kenya. We mourn the loss of life and injuries sustained and offer our condolences to the families who lost loved ones. We urge restraint to restore order and provide space for dialogue.
Kenyan President William Ruto has since withdrawn the tax bill. In a written statement, Secretary of State Antony Blinken thanked President Ruto for taking steps to reduce tensions and pledging to engage in dialogue with the protesters and civil society. Secretary Blinken underscored the importance of security forces not resorting to violence and encouraged prompt investigations into allegations of human rights abuses. Kenya has also been instrumental in volunteering a peacekeeping force for the multinational security support mission with the goal of restoring security and prosperity in Haiti. Spokesperson Miller stressed that all personnel, including from Kenya and other countries, receive intensive training on human rights before being deployed. The United States has worked with Kenya and other partners to integrate critically important accountability and oversight measures to prevent, investigate, address, and publicly report any violations or abuses of human rights related to the MSS mission, said spokesperson Miller.
We will continue to engage and vet personnel that are going to participate in the mission because obviously it is important that the human rights of the Haitian people be respected as this mission to restore law and order is carried out.
The United States is committed to working closely with Kenya's government and people as they work to address their economic challenges while making sure human rights are upheld in Kenya and around the world.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.